Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Gay or what?
Disorderly Conduct.
It's Friday. Free Ball Friday. September 13th. Friday the 13th. 2013. How about that? 9-13-13. Friday. 9-13-13. Good times. This is, of course, Free Ball Friday. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Friday program, it's kind of just a free-for-all. Typically, it's open lines. Sometimes I'll have a guest or two on. We'll chop things up and just let her rip with the phone lines. And in keeping with that free spirit of this program, of course, the name of the program suggests that everybody who participates tonight engage in not wearing underpants. If you're already going commando, more power to you, okay? If you are still wearing your underpants, what you want to do is discard your pants or your skirt. Well, if you have a skirt, honey, all you have to do is just peel off those panties if you're wearing panties today and go commando style. And dudes, I don't know about you, but I've been freeballing all summer, so it ain't no thing. I'm already pre-freeballing. Oh, my God. Pardon me. That was so rude. I'm happy to be back on the airwaves. I hope we have some fun tonight. We can mix it up. There's no real agenda. I am not drunk. Raven Bowden says in the chat room, Vince is drunk. Show over. I'm not drunk, dude. I haven't had a sip of alcohol probably since Vegas. Oh, no, I take that back. Was it last weekend or the weekend before? I was hanging out with Sicko and Ma and Caesar and Nicole Powers and Viz Fasho and this chick Courtney. And we had a little barbecue powwow thing on the patio there. And partook in some spirits. I got a little bit intoxicated. So, yeah. But I'm not a big drinker. I really am not that big a drinker. You know, I my only remaining vices other than prescription drugs is coffee and occasionally medical marijuana. And that's about it. I really don't, like, I'll drink socially. Like, if I go out with people, like in Vegas, I drank a lot just because that's what people were doing. It's like when in Rome. I brought that for all of you, any of you who might have been at DEF CON this year or wish you had, I broached the subject to Bip. Bipalicious on Twitter, who's located in Vegas and who I hung out with and partied with quite a bit down there. Good person. I posed the question to her, hey, why don't we do quarterly reunions or quarterly meetups, you know, elevator sec meetups? I think that'd be cool. Maybe have them in different spots around the country. You know, one quarter, like every 3 months, so every quarter. So say you have, you know, one in January to represent the January, February, March quarter. And you have one in April to represent the April, May, June quarter. June, July, August, that would be actual DEF CON, so you wouldn't have to do one there. So you'd only have to do three reunion shows, because one of those quarters would be DEF CON. So then after DEF CON, you would probably go towards the end of quarter number Wait, DEF CON would be... So, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Okay, so third quarter is it would be DEF CON. And then fourth quarter would be, you know, maybe New Year's Eve. I don't know. Wouldn't that be cool if we had like a New Year's Twitter versus New Year's Eve party? Like, seriously, like, okay, I mean, whether you like it or not, a lot of us here, in the, especially people in the chat room, Actions, and Omi, Antichrist 73, who I'm going to bring on later, he's going to be my co-host tonight, Brutal Thunder Cunt, Chef Bonardee, FT Wops, Green Dog, several guest listeners, Mr. Midnight Movie. Wow, Mr. Midnight Movie in the house. One Jewish something. Is that Mr. Midnight Movie or Jewish producer? Either way, I love both those guys. I'm happy that at least one or potentially both are listening. Feel free to call in, guys. If Mr. Midnight Movie, you have not I've not heard you bloviate for a while. If you want to call in and bloviate for 5 or 10 minutes, don't be shy. We got Raven Bowden in the house. What's up, Raven Bowden? I apologize. I took a long time tonight or today to figure out what my format of my show is going to be tonight, or who's going to be on my show tonight. I really wanted to get a guest, but I just didn't know who. I woke up with a headache. I slept all day because I was sleeping off this headache. I get these migraines from time to time, and you know, it was pretty bad this afternoon. I was contemplating not even doing a show, but eventually got better. I'm feeling better now, but so I just had to hustle something up at the last minute. There's obviously a lot of topics I want to touch on. Mike, if you look in the disclaimer, the description of the show, of course it's Free Ball Friday the 13th. And it's time to go commando with VITB. Tonight, I will be joined by my co-host, Antichrist73, and we will, among other things, cover the latest headlines. I haven't done a show since Sunday, so it's, 5 days since I've done a show? So we're going to try to catch up on some of the stuff that happened over the week. Putin has thoroughly schooled Barack Obama multiple times on the geopolitical stage. He came out with a New York Times op-ed piece, and he's also, his government and his diplomats are leading negotiations with Syria and brokering it with the United States in an effort to disband Syria's chemical weapons program. Basically, Putin is running circles around Obama. It's really embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for America that we have I'm not gonna bash Obama. I think as a person, he's a very sharp, cool, charismatic, funny guy. I don't think he should be president, though. I just don't think it's the right fit. He's a great orator. That's what he does best. Let's face it. Barack Obama doesn't know shit about governing. He knows about campaigning. And that's all he does. Even now while he's president, when you don't see him on TV doing interviews or whatever, or reading speeches, he's flying around the country doing benefits fundraisers for the Democratic Party in different states. He's fundraising for general election funds. He's been to the Bay Area since he's been president. He's been to the Bay Area, I want to say, at almost like 10 times. Like it's over half a dozen for sure. For a while there, it seemed like he was coming through like once or twice a month. And he just has these private meetings. He does these private fundraisers and gets all these venture capital people and people with super ultra deep pockets here in Silicon Valley. And he does some fundraising. And he does that all over the country. That's what doesn't get reported. People, like every once in a while, White House news reporters will just say, "Oh, and for tomorrow, Barack has a fundraising engagement in Toledo, Ohio." So, I mean, all he's doing is just continuing to campaign, and that's what he does great. That's what he does best. He's a great orator. He has a very tolerable delivery. He's not exactly, I wouldn't quite put him in, I wouldn't quite put him up with Bill Clinton. I honestly believe Bill Clinton was probably the prototypical politician for the last 50 years. He honestly perfected. This is the guy that he could lie to you to your face. You know he's lying, but you don't care because he's the delivery. You like the guy so much. Like, he could be fucking you in the ass, and he'd find some way to massage you into realizing it's for your own good and enjoyment. That's the kind of dude. I mean, I think that's essentially his approach to Monica Lewinsky, but don't quote me on that. But whatever, we have plenty of topics to talk about tonight, and anything else you want to bring up. I know there's a shit ton of other stuff going on in the world. So Putin's been schooling Obama on the geopolitical stage. He wrote this op-ed piece, and he's trying to broker talks on disbanding chemical weapons in Syria. So he's basically running the table. Like, this dude's been around. Putin's been around for decades. He started off in KGB. You know, he knows geopolitics. He knows global communications. You know, just all sorts of stuff. He's way ahead of the curve compared to Obama. It's kind of embarrassing. So, yeah, speaking of Obama, he's going to appoint Larry Summers to be nominated for the next Federal Reserve chairmanship to succeed Ben Bernanke, Ben Helicopter Bernanke. Larry Summers, of course, partially one of the accomplices, actually, to setting up the financial crisis that we currently went into in 2008 and have kind of been reeling from ever since. This guy in the 90s under Clinton allowed investment banks and whatever, just regular banks, cross-pollinate, essentially. And you know, regular banks were acting like investment banks, and investment banks were acting like regular banks. And eventually they made a law, and technically companies like Goldman Sachs have, like, ATMs and shit. Like, you're not going to see a Goldman Sachs ATM in Schenectady, but you're definitely going to find one probably in Lower Manhattan. What else is going on? Oh, there's this media shield law that's being proposed again in the U.S. Senate. There's a lot of talk about this law that's sort of, it's been, they've tried to pass it through before to no avail. So I think it's been recycled, and they're trying it again. And I have not, I really have to pull down, maybe when I take a break, I'll pull down the content of that and really look into it. But essentially what I'm gathering from people, and this is like journalists that I follow on Twitter and people like Drudge, who I think under this new law would technically not necessarily qualify him as a journalist. And he was kind of pissed. He said exactly how I feel. He's like, any citizen, the First Amendment applies to any citizen. Any citizen can pick up a recording device or pick up a word processor and report and do acts of journalism. They don't have to be paid by CNN. They don't have to have graduated from Syracuse Journalism School. Like, look at Glenn Greenwald. He started off as he was a lawyer who decided to start blogging and get all political and started researching stuff and eventually was able to land a job with a company that with an online news organization. So, I mean, would he be considered a journalist or not? Like, what constitutes a journalist? Somebody that went to a journalism program, graduated, you know, worked for a large media conglomerate in some capacity. I mean, it can't be somebody that just went to that maybe didn't go to journalism school, had another, but you know, kind of moonlights as a newsie and a blogger. I think those people, you know, as wild and crazy as they might be, I don't see there any problem with them being considered media. I think media, you got to take the good and the bad. And the great thing about citizen journalism and freelance journalism and alternate media is a lot of people are just doing it just because they love it. They don't care about getting paid. They're newsies, they're reporters, maybe they're ex-reporters, because a lot of that industry, newspapers especially, but TV news too, there's been a lot of attrition, there's been a lot of redundancies, and that old media animal is now kind of like a dinosaur. And I think in the wake of that, you're already seeing traditional media merging and overlapping with new media. And, you know, it leads to things like Daily Beast and Newsweek, Amazon and Washington Post. But, yeah. What's going on in the chat room? People are freaking going nuts in here. Antheist says, Greenwald was a huge Bush supporter. Know your history, silly lefties, before climbing on the gravy train of misinfo. Now, you know, I've heard this claim before. I looked into it, and from what I can tell, Greenwald wasn't... I don't believe he was banging the war drums explicitly for Bush, but if I recall, he endorsed some of the military action on the ground, on like humanitarian grounds, which is what like the Democrats are trying to sell the Syria thing as. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I you probably know more than me and Thesis. Yeah, that's humanitarian. I know, it's ridiculous. That's not me. I don't think it's some humanitarian to bomb the shit out of humans. That's all these Democrats who are voting for it are justifying it. It's always, we got to do it for the kids. What about the kids? It always comes back to the kids, right? That's kind of underhanded by Obama.
Did you see the video of the kids? I mean, come on. Let's do it for the kids, idiots. Come on.
Do it for the parents. Wait, what if they're, what if that was your child? Burning from nerve gas. Well, what if it was my child getting shot on the streets of fucking South Side of Chicago? You know, there's some fucked up shit going on a lot closer to home. In fact, at home, in your backyard. Seriously, dude. If we're gonna enforce, back up some sort of insurgency or whatever, let's back up the let's bring some troops home. Get them trained to be like paramilitary law enforcement, and have them patrol the streets, the slums of fucking Chicago, and straighten shit out. That's essentially what Giuliani did, and how he helped clean up New York. Like Midtown Manhattan used to be just like porn central. It was run down. It was just disgusting, dude. You didn't want to go there. But it's whatever. Okay, did I redo roll call? Did I do a roll call? Somebody help me. For the love of God, did I do a roll call? Forget it. We got some new people in here anyway, so I'll do the roll call. Okay. Let's see who we have in the chat room today. Early chit chatters. Actions, Anomi, Anthesis, Antichrist 73, Apocals, or something. Bacalina, hey, Bacalina. Brutal Thundercunt, welcome, Brutal Thundercunt. Chef Bonardi in the house. What up, Chef Bonardi? F-Twops in the building. Green Dog. Welcome, Green Dog. We have several guest listeners. Jay Geronimo in the building. What up, Jay Geronimo? Mr. Midnight Movie. Raven Bowden in the house. What up, Raven Bowden? Your Anus News holding me down. And last but not least, Zinc. Good times, people. Okay, this is what's going to happen here. I believe my guest is my co-host tonight is waiting in the wings, and we're gonna take a quick break and come back with him and chop it up on this Free Ball Friday the 13th. And if you're not free balling, this is your opportunity to discard your underpants, your panties if you're a lady, your briefs if you're a dude, and just put your, make sure you put your clothes back on. And you're freeballing, going commando, like we do here every Friday night. But I do pretty much every day. Okay. And if you're not familiar with this program, Freeball Friday, and you really want to know what it's all about, I have recorded a song about this program. And it's called Freeballin', and I will be right back with Antichrisis 73 on Blog Talk Radio and Disorderly Conduct. It's Freeball Friday the 13th, babies.
All right, from the top, Freeballin'. She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus and America too. She's got big tits, crazy about humping. She loves bareback and a vibrator too. It's a long day living in the Bay. It's a long day, 'cause I got a big penis. There's a hippie running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for wearing no underpants, 'cause I'm free, free balling. Yes, I'm free, free ballin'. Yes, I'm free, free ballin'. That's right, I'm wearing any underpants tonight, kids. I hope you aren't either. That's because I'm free. Free ballin'. That's when you're wearing pants with no underpants. Try it sometime. Enjoy it. Be liberated.
Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show. Back up in this
Thank you for tuning in, folks. I appreciate you enduring my monologue there. I'm really trying to start to think of this 2 hours in segments. I'm thinking four half-hour segments. So, like, for example, tonight, the first half hour, my monologue. This next half hour, we're going to get to meet our my co-host tonight, Antichrist 73. So I'm going to kick it with him for a little bit in this segment. And then at the top of the hour, hour number two, we'll do a segment, I don't know, with calls, have people call in. And the last segment, the half hour, last half hour, it'll just be audio spaghetti or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens. So that's essentially the agenda. And with that established, I'm now going to welcome my guest to the show, my guest co-host tonight, Antichrist 73. Welcome, Antichrist 73. Antichrist.
Hey, Vince, how are you? Thanks for having me on. It's great to be on. I'm a little nervous. Abashed.
Why?
I don't know. I've been listening for a while. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the banter in the chat room. Excuse me.
Yeah. It's usually a completely different show going on parallel to this show in the chat room.
Yeah, it's
a completely different scenario in there. And very rarely do they overlap. And I feel bad. I feel guilty about that because I feel like I should dedicate more time to fielding questions for the chat room, from interacting with the chat room, from there. Because the most people that listen to my show are people who download it like the next day and listen to it as a podcast. Ultimately, all my shows, eventually the archive listens easily surpass the live listens. So I kind of, you know, it's theater of the mind. So I'm trying to help out the folks that are listening to it after the fact and don't see the chat room. And because I know when I listen to podcasts, at least something like this, where the chat room, you know, becomes part of the show, I think
right.
It's good. That's why I do the chat room roll call. I mean, I don't do that to get people some ego fag, you know, shit, or, you know, it's more, that to me is more for the listener who's listening to this after the fact, who never saw the chat room, is curious, oh, I wonder who's in the chat room. And they'll be like, oh, Becca Lena was in there? Wow. Awesome. You know what I mean?
Well, and it is sort of a compartmentalized show. There's the chat room and then, you know, your talk. I think it works well. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tend to overlap. And I like going into the chat room and saying, hey, everybody, let's just take some Q&A right now. What do you think? Do you have a question for me? Do you have a question for my guest, Antichrist? It don't matter.
Yeah, good stuff. And there's got to be rewards for people who tune in live and hence the chat room.
Yeah.
You rewarded my Twitter diarrhea with a good hodgepodge of topics for the show. I appreciate that.
Oh, what are some of the topics that are interesting to you?
Well, aside, you know, from the general malaise of Obama and Larry Summers is actually fairly interesting. You know, I don't think Obama could have picked a more controversial nomination if he is going to indeed nominate him for Bernanke's position. You know, I mean, he has a fairly across the board sketchy reputation from his short tenure as Harvard president through the behind the scenes shit he did during the financial collapse and up till what yesterday his role with Citigroup. It's just like it's another one of those things, as you were talking about in the introduction, with Obama, you know, it's like, damn, he's just a shuckster, you know, he's just a salesman with a pretty good pitch and good manners.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Obama, I mean, yeah, like even his most fierce opponents will give him props on being a great orator, being a great cult of personality, being a great.
He's a decent orator. He's a decent orator. He's
well,
never
no,
made
dude, I think he's really good. I mean, unfortunately.
Well, he's articulate.
I think it's unfair to just base his public speaking on what he's done in the last 8 years as president or as senator or president. If you go back to some of his older work talks where I don't think he had anything scripted. He certainly didn't have the teleprompter around. And he was pretty good. Like, he had stuff, you know, he had a good feel for talking, and he didn't pause as much. He was more free flowing, whereas now everything's staccato. Everything's like, and you can just see him thinking about what he's going to say next, and it's really it's too bad because that happens to every president. It happened to Bush. If you go back to watch old Bush's speeches, all he does is read the teleprompter. I don't know why people didn't get on him about teleprompter. That's all he did on his speeches when he did speeches.
They beat that stupid man down into the dirt, man. I mean, I can't stand Bush or Obama, but, you know, and I think it's happening with Obama. You know, the people who pull him one way or the other, whatever you want to call them, they're beating these men down. And, you know, they put themselves in the position.
No doubt. So what do you think of Larry Summers? Do you have any thoughts about him potentially being the nominee for Fed chairman?
Raven Bode in the chat room made a valid point about Obama's domestic policy. You know, it's tough to tell where the truth lies these days as far as what's going on in the economy. From my anecdotal evidence, just from observing, it still seems to be sputtering. And Larry Summers is he's definitely an insider. You know, he's a banker. Like I said earlier, he kind of tried his hand at academia. Harvard took a chance on him, and it was a miserable failure. He embarrassed himself and the university, if that's possible. But, I don't know. It's just another one of these things where at some point Obama's got to make, a decision that isn't so polarizing. Even amongst his own constituents. I mean, Larry Summers is just, maybe just slicker of a player than Bernie Madoff. I mean, who's to know?
I agree. I have a real big problem with Larry Summers. On one level, I think, okay, this guy, he was in the Clinton administration, and I think he was, Treasury Secretary or something? And he was part of, he did something. Maybe he was working at the top of the SEC.
He was in the savings and loan. He was mixed up with the savings and loan.
Whatever. He was a big, a proponent of dissolving Glass-Steagall. And he basically set the table for these mortgage securities to be to happen, and eventually allowing banks like Citi, B of A, become not only commercial banks but investment houses as well. And then eventually, after you know, the TARP and everything that they fucking raped the American people for, you know, they started to fall in line. But still, man, it's just ridiculous.
I mean, he's full of contradictions, and as well as you know, Obama passed you know, some legislation that forbid being involved in any major brokerage house, you know, if they were good, if they were being considered for a position in his administration. And so now they took it all the way to the wire. He and Summers, they were hoping to probably get around it so he could keep his position at Citigroup and be the chairman of the Fed. But it seems to have been foiled. But, you know, yeah, he's part of the old guys club. There's a lot of talk about Putin in the chat room.
Oh, Putin is running game on the internet, the global political scene right now. He has, over the last, 2 months, he went from essentially saying, look, we got your boy Snowden. And yo, check this out. He's not coming home, and you're gonna have to be okay with that. And
yeah,
what is Obama first says? Oh, he's just a hacker. Whatever. We're not gonna fucking, you know, do a massive manhunt for this guy. You know, we're gonna let blah 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 blah. And then he'll turn around the next day and talk about you know, how you know, it's unacceptable that he's there and he has to come back, and he's too pragmatic for his own good. He tries to play both sides of the fence, and it's so transparent and disgusting.
He's such a neoliberal.
He's a great, okay, I'll give him credit. He's a great campaigner. And I think he's got his head in the right place. I think he's trying to get his head in the right place as far as domestic issues go. I think he's failing at that too, but at least he's trying. As far as international diplomacy and all this, you know, this is not his game, man. This is not what he does. He's a community organizer, man. He's a community organizer. He doesn't know about fucking commanding them. He should not be the commander-in-chief. I'm sorry. Like, he's a smart guy. I don't have a problem with him being a lawmaker. Like, when he was senator, you know, I thought he was a promising person. And, you know, now that he's president, he's just kind of going the same route that all presidents do. Not only do they get they get gray hair by the middle of their second term, but, you know, they just kind of end up doing the same, you know, whatever, pursuing the same agenda as their predecessor, no matter whether they were, you know, the same partisan group or not.
He should have been another president's press secretary. You know, he's great at that. At that, and Putin, you know, I mean, that guy's like a grizzled warrior. You know, he's old school, Cold War, like, you know, where
he's
people
KGB.
Didn't fuck around. It was like rendition, no worries, boom, you're gone. You know,
his KGB work goes back to the early '80s. Yeah, he came up during the Cold War. He's been doing international espionage and diplomacy and politics his whole fucking life. He's got decades of experience. Obama, he worked in a community organization. He went to law school. You know, he married a chick who fucking hooked him up with some cushy jobs and stuff. He was more of an academic, if anything. and then he decided to get into politics. He's not as charismatic and as cool as he seems. He is just not in any shape to be able to outmaneuver a guy like Putin.
And once Putin, like, smells blood in the water, you know, that was remarkable, that actual reversal of sort of the Putin's voice being kind of the fringe voice, and just that whole, at least, you know, from where I'm sitting, that whole kind of 360 to Putin clearly being in command and dictating what was going to happen. And it's historically unprecedented. Now, that being said, you know, let's keep things in perspective. You know, Putin is a master troll. Yes, exactly. Putin is a master fucking troll. He's nasty. I don't think he cares very much about civil, you know, liberties or whatever that means. You know, but he's a trained warrior, and he has his polished front forward, and you know, he's trolling the world right now. We'll see what comes of it.
Trolling the world, yeah, he is. He is kind of doing. He's running game right now.
You want to have a beer with Putin? I mean, you know,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, he's like, hey, comrade, you come to my ranch, and we shoot pheasants together. We shoot pheasants together.
You know, and
we take off our shirts.
You know, we go in the ice cold water.
Good wine.
You know, it's interesting. It was interesting also, at least from the Twitter perspective, to see how many people completely forgot or chose to forget or their cognitive dissonance kicked in. Somebody used that very pertinent term in the chat room. How many people forgot, you know, Pussy Riot and, Russia is a crap hole, you know. How many people quickly forgot like that whole fiasco, you know? But memories are short and getting shorter, unfortunately. Did you mute yourself, Vince? Oh my God! If I'm alone, I'm gonna have a panic attack. All right. Full on panic attack. All right, here's a good topic. Damn you, Vince. Okay, Media Shield. That's pretty boring. How about Brandon Darby and Mr. McKay confronting him. Any, or am I muted too?
No, you're not. You're not. I'm just not listening. Sorry. I was muted. I had myself self-muted just to listen to you, and you know, I like. What I like to do though is, because when you have a bunch of different lines on at the same time, sometimes there's background noise or something, and it's just better if one person has got the floor anyway. That's why people get pissed off at being muted. It's not anything personal. It's just, you know, when you're on the line, you add extra white noise from whatever your connection, and it's just nicer for overall audio quality is if you just isolate and let the one person who has the floor be unmuted and everybody else potted down. It's just an audio thing. What's unfortunate is when you put these people on mute. Blog Talk Radio has this voice now that says muted, unmuted, and it's kind of annoying. I can understand people getting kind of butthurt about that, and annoyed, but whatever, man. This is radio. That's the behind the scenes thing. You can't complain about it. Yeah, I try to be fair, but I'm managing time. I'm trying to, make the overall audio quality and experience of the show sound fluid and seamless. And it's tough. It's a juggling act, especially when you're a one man band. Not only do I have to like promote and try to hustle up guests and sometimes set up audio clips and blah blah blah, come up with topics, research the topics, line up some guests that are relevant, that are cool.
It's not as easy as you make it look, Vince. And I, for one, appreciate you, Doug. Not to get all emotional here.
Yeah.
But how about Brandon Darby? There's like a lot of name is punchline. Cognitive Dissonance, boy, and Brandon Darby. It's like,
I have mixed emotions on Brandon Darby.
I want to hear your mixed emotions.
Sure, okay. Brandon Darby, first of all, he is a handsome man, okay? He is, even with that like Dave Matthews shaved receding hairline look, he's a striking young gentleman. He's built well. He looks like he could be like, I don't know, like a Banana Republic model or some shit like that.
I think that's what he's been relying on his whole life.
Yeah. He could easily be a model. No problem. Excuse me. Wow. Wait, who am I talking about again?
Mr. Brandon Darby.
Brandon Darby.
8846.
Yeah, okay. Brandon Darby, right, I have mixed emotions about him. I think it's interesting how he was allegedly militantly left-wing, a militant left-wing activist that was very active. He went down to New Orleans to try to help poor people and blah blah blah, and he got mixed up with Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And but whatever, there's a lot of people that are doing that shit. And in his own words explaining it, he makes it seem like he was legitimately down for the cause and wanted to help people and whatever. He probably engaged in some radical activity himself, but I think for the most part, from what I can tell, he was more of a cheerleader. He was more of like an ideas guy, somebody that was...
His pathology fits perfectly into the white savior complex archetype.
Oh, yeah. He's charismatic. He's nice. He seems like down to earth. He's like, in some ways, he's like the aw shucks Texan, that's can charm you, and he's a charmer for sure.
His manipulation grift goes awry, he takes his ball and goes home, and that's what happened in New Orleans. And never crossing paths personally with him down there, and being, I was down there later than him. There wasn't a lot of very nice things to say about his character. And of course, you have to take the bias and where that was coming from into account. He's a reactionary and an emotional reactionary at that, which is always very dangerous. And I think that's what pulled him into sort of the leftist, quote unquote radical movement in the first place, just being pulled by his heartstrings and his very superficial sense of right and wrong. And that's why he was so quickly and easily manipulated by the FBI. But if you look into those two young men, their background, into the story, the suffering that he inflicted upon their families is not to be taken lightly. And there's no real reason to get into the sort of, you know, the story of what did or didn't happen. But he certainly angled his position so he would come out on top.
Right on. Cool story, bro.
Sorry to make things serious. You know,
well,
but,
dude, check this out. We're already into hour number two.
And I will chill, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, no problem. You're going to stick around. We're just going to add more people to the panel here, if you don't mind.
That would be awesome.
All right. First off, I'm going to go in order in which they called in. And we have waiting patiently with us and now joining us on the air, former rep Dan Gordon. What's up, Dan Gordon?
Hey, good evening, Vince. Good evening, folks. Thank you for having me on.
Hello.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you on. And you, of course, are on the air with my co-host tonight, Antichrist 73. And in a moment here, we're also going to be joined by Anami.
That's fantastic. I didn't call in this evening with any particular agenda other than to touch base with some old friends, you namely, and just perhaps weigh in on some of the topics of conversation this evening. So again, thank you.
Great. We're just gonna. Well, there are several topics that we've been covering tonight, and I'd love to get your input on them. If you have any thoughts, any analysis you'd like to share, we've all kind of taken a shot at the ones that we have something to say about. Rep Dan. Let me ask you, you pay attention to the geopolitical scene, right? And you're keeping up with Putin and Obama and Syria and all that bullshit?
As much as possible.
Okay. Did you read Putin's op-ed piece?
I did. I saw it in the New York Times this afternoon.
What'd you think of it?
Well, quite frankly, I thought the man was spot on in his analysis of what he had to say in regards to the Syrian situation. Now, there's a number of different ways we can look at this. As we can look at the spectrum or the what I'm looking for, the prism of things. Not to get up to another topic, NSA prism sort of thing. And not to endorse, you know, a so-called quote-unquote enemy of the state via a Cold War, but the man is clearly articulate and well-skilled in the political game of chess on the worldwide basis, and he certainly trumped and easily checkmated President Obama. With that piece, in my opinion.
If you're just joining us, it's Vince in the Bay. We're in hour number two. It's Blog Talk Radio's Disorderly Conduct, special Free Ball Friday the 13th edition with my guest host tonight, Antichrist 73, and my guest on the panel, who's just joined us, Rep. Dan Gordon. And if anybody has any questions for the panel, feel free to come through. I'm now going to bring on Anomi. Anomi, are you there?
Yes.
Hey,
hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
What's so funny?
I forgot I was on. Just say, hey, how you doing?
Okay. You know, all you have to do is self-mute when you laugh hysterically and annoyingly like that.
Noted.
Also, if you take like a bong rip or something, and you start having a hacking cough, you should self-mute for that. If you have TV playing in the background, you got kids playing, you got the air conditioner blowing in your face, self-mute for that. If you're whacking off listening to the show, please self-mute for that. Unless it's Anomi, she can keep her line open. you're jiggling? Are they jiggling,
a little
baby?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I like it. Oh, hey, has any of you guys been infested by these fake followers, these bot accounts that somebody is... I think what's going on is people are going to those sites where you can buy followers, and I think what they're doing is they're buying followers for people just to fuck with them. This is the second time this has happened to me. Like 2 weeks ago, I got like 4,000 new followers, and I was like, what the fuck? And I saw it happening in real time. In retrospect, I wish I would have just locked my account. That was stupid. But I was fascinated. I was like, oh my God, how is this happening? Like, I kept refreshing, and there would be like 100 more new follows, and I had to turn my phone off because I had that stupid buzz notification thing. But online, I would just keep refreshing, and I was like freaking out. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You know, you can turn that off so that it doesn't ping every time, or that you get specific notifications.
So it's whatever. So I'm going to go on. So what I did the first time is I went through, and most of this one were like all Russian bots. It was like a combination of, it looked like just self-made bots mixed in with accounts that, I don't know, like dormant accounts that people found some way to crack and take over and turn into zombie accounts. And so I went in and systematically blocked and reported something like, I don't know, I spent a whole afternoon and probably blocked and reported at least 500 accounts. And I just got tired of it, and I was like, fuck it, you know, I'll just maybe do 100 a day or every other day until they're gone. But then I got tired. I just got sick of it. I was like, fuck it, whatever. I got rid of a bunch.
It became part of your daily chores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clean up my... Because I hate having inflated followers of just... Because really, it's not that malicious at all. All it does is just give you more followers. And what sucks is some of them start spamming you. Like, they follow you and then they spam you. So you got to... You know, it's just... Fuck. You know, you can't win.
You can get suspended temporarily for aggressive following techniques. I've had that happen before.
But
that's how
not,
I found out what a bot gun was.
People, but it's not me following people. It's somebody
that
else
doesn't matter.
Following me.
Yeah, I woke up one morning with like 3,000 followers after having like 50 one day. And the next thing I know, I was suspended for aggressive following techniques. And that's essentially what it was. And I figured that out because it happened like 2 or 3 times. And that's kind of when I started to learn the glory of blocked accounts. That's why I have like 100 followers, because I actually talk to those 100 people here and there. I don't really give a crap about anybody else. But yours are your legion, your personal legion.
What legion? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I have a personal legion.
Legitimate. You're talking about legitimate followers.
Oh, yeah, legitimate followers. I don't like the idea of having my numbers inflated with a bunch of fake followers, fake accounts. I like knowing, you know, a good, solid, accurate number of how many people I'm following and are following me. I want to know real people, not fake people. So that's important.
I could do a psychological assessment, but I think I'll refrain.
It's pretty easy. Like, you don't really have to open their profiles for the most part because they add in bunches, and they usually, for the most part, have, if they don't have eggs, which is the first dead giveaway, they usually don't have any description on their account. It's just a name, and that's it. There's no description. And that's how, and you'll see like 10 of them in a row, and it's just like so obvious. So you just go through and just bam, 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 bam. And what I did is I took down like 500 of them, and after a certain point, I just quit because I couldn't stand it anymore. I was like, fuck it. And eventually, I don't know, maybe Twitter kind of caught on, but since then, my number count has steadily decreased. And I gotta believe it's these fake accounts getting taken down, and I was finally getting back to the point where I was like, okay, I think I'm, you know, maybe a couple hundred away from being back on close to like accurate numbers, and then I fucking opened my Twitter tonight, and I was like, what the fuck, 13,000 followers, what the hell, come on. I got something like 5,000 new followers in an hour. That was not cool.
You know what I just envisioned?
What?
13,000 blow-up dolls in a room cheering you on.
And I'm pretty much certain I know who's connected to this. If it's not, if it isn't Ace directly doing this, it's one of Ace's cronies. What I think he does is it's just simply, you go to one of these sites where you can buy followers, and what he does is he buys followers for me. Like, you know, it's like, what account would you like to buy the followers for? He can put anything. So he probably puts my account and just laughs about it. And that's what I think on a smaller scale other people are encountering. It's not, I don't think it's a bot network. I really don't.
How small does your dick have to be for you to buy followers on Twitter to feel better about yourself?
Yeah, not only do these people buy followers, but they also drive monster trucks and extremely loud crotch rocket motorcycles.
Ew. I don't like crotch rockets. Well, I like crotch rockets, but not that kind.
Oh, I know what kind.
Never mind.
I know what kind of rocket you like. The bullet.
Oh,
you like
crap.
The bullet. You like to take the bullet train.
This is not a private call. This is not a good night call.
Oh, well, we can take care of that in the green room if you need if it's necessary.
Okay, throw the rest of the panel up there. We'll be right back, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know what we're gonna do? We're due for a break. I have with me tonight my co-host Anti-Crisis 73, also tonight a guest of ours, Dan Gordon, former rep Dan Gordon, and of course the lovely Anomi. And so we're going to take a brickety break here and then come back with some more torture for your ears. And Nomi, what kind of music do you feel like listening to? I kind of want to get fired up.
Yeah, okay. You know, I'm still in kind of like an 80s metal mood. 80s rock. Hair metal. I don't know, that always gets me fired up.
Like what kind of hair metal? Like who?
I don't know. The one that always comes to my mind when I think of the 80s, I always think of Rat.
Really? Like what Rat?
Round and Round. How about Round and Round?
Hey.
Rat? Oh, you said Rat or yeah. Rap?
No, Rat.
Oh, I don't have any Rat, I don't think. Sorry.
I don't have any Rap. Who listens to Rap?
I have some Rap. I have some old school Rap.
If you insist.
Too short?
Too short?
Yuck.
Anomi, do you like Too Short?
It's kind of
I don't even
good.
Know what that is. I don't listen to rap of any sort.
Oh my god. He's from Oakland. He's from Oakland. He's Bay Area.
I don't give a damn. I've never been there.
Do you like, okay, you know, like...
I'm from the boonies.
That's fine. That's fine. But you've heard of, have you heard of Two Live Crew? No? How,
no.
Okay, wait, how old are you?
Babe, I've made a point to not make, like, to listen to any of that. Like, things balance, I turn the radio station. Like, I've put effort into not listening to rap.
Nope. Have you heard of Public Enemy?
What's that?
Public Enemy. Chuck D, Flavor Flav.
There's a movie named Public Enemy?
I'm sure you've heard these songs, you just don't know it.
That is a definite possibility. Anybody who follows me on Twitter can go back through my all my links and see what I've been listening to. There's a whole lot of Alice Cooper and shit going on.
Do you like mariachi music?
That's a real thing? I thought we just made fun of that. That's a thing? Oh, that's a thing.
Do you like Prince? Do you like the artist formerly known as Prince?
I don't hate Prince. I do not hate Prince. That's okay.
She wore raspberry beret.
My God. Have you ever heard of Mac Dre?
Sorry, I'm still stuck on that last part. No. Nope.
Wait, what was one of the first ones I asked you about?
I have no idea.
Two Live Crew.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Too Short. We were going to play some Too Short.
Then play it.
Freaky Tales, right. Vince. Freaky Tales.
You know, I don't think I have Freaky Tales on here, dude. Yeah, I dropped the ball on that. I have several Too Short songs, but I can't believe I don't have that one. That's a classic.
You know that one, don't you?
Anybody
looking at the chat room?
Yes.
What?
Anybody looking at the chat room? Play the song by the dead guy. You know the dead one?
Who said that?
You know the fat part? I think I know who they're talking about, which makes it really pathetic, because the only rapper I know in existence is freaking dead.
Okie dokie. So, for you, here's a good song, a good primer. If you've never listened to Too Short, or if you think you haven't listened to Too Short, if you hear this, you might recognize the song. If not, here's your introduction to Bay Area hip hop legend Too Short with the track "Life Is Too Short." And I'm Vincent the Bay. I'll be right back with Anti-Crisis 73, Rep Dan Gordon, and Anomi. Be right back.
Word up.
Oh. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/Vincent the Bay. Call in 347-826-7667. VIP for life.
It all began. I used to sing dirty raps to my East Side fans back then. I knew you couldn't stop this rap. No MC could rock like that. Then the new style came, the bass got deeper. He gave up the mic and brought you a beeper. Do you wanna rap or sell coke? Brothers like you ain't never broke. People wanna say it's just my time. Brothers like me had to work for mine. 8 years on the mic and I'm not joking. Sir Too Short coming straight from Oakland, California, home of the rock. 8 woofers in the truck beating down the block. Short dog, I'm that rapping man. I said it before and I say it again. Life is too short. Too short. Life is unbearable, commit suicide and that's terrible. Wasn't much too much or nothing big. If you live my life, you'll be fighting to live. Life is to me my main asset. I've been doing all right and keep it just like that. Chill out at the house and bump that bass. I'm trying to get rich as I rock the place. Everybody's got that same old dream, to have big money and fancy things. Drive a brand new Benz, keep your bank right here. Never hear me stutter once, cause I talk real clear. It's on you.
boy, what you gonna do? You can take my advice and start working, boo. Or you can close your ears and run your mouth. And one day, homeboy, you'll soon find out. Life is too short. Too short. Life is too short.
This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
Everybody stay alert. You've got an enemy on your tail. Use the barrel roll. Do a 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 barrel roll.
Hit it.
Tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Don't quit your day job.
Yarrai me!
Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti I brevetti della DPL e la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo, il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisi. Parliamo di Rentro 86 insegnare un bel posto.
Finish him.
These top fighters are really something else.
Flawless victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host,
Vince in the Bay.
What a silly Negro.
Oh, yeah. Just enjoying a nice, cool beverage. It was a glorious day here in the Bay Area. Wow. Very nice. It was, depending where you were in the Bay, if you're inland, it was 80s, low 80s, upper 70s. If you're on the coast, it was 70s, high 60s. It was nice. Can't complain. Another beautiful day in paradise. I'd like to thank everybody for tweeting me during the show and tweeting out the link to the show. Thank you to Karen McIlwee, Dan Gordon, of course, Anomi. She tweeted out the show. What? Well, tweeted the show. Girl Nirat. Tortured 212121 1221. The Fire Dog, aka Benji Cooper, Pablo Colon, and Worth of the World, Your Anus News, Compulsion Jane, Actions, who's in the chat room, the Actions, and Anomi, who's on the panel tonight, which I'm very excited about. Okay, I'm going to bring everybody back on. First and foremost, it's my co-host tonight, Antichrist73. How you doing, Antichrist73?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. So far, so good with the show. It was nice to have a little break there, but I'm excited to pick up where we left off.
Is the Kahuna sentencing thing, is that off limits?
What do you mean off limits?
To discuss, to get some insight on.
Not at all. It's in my show notes, I believe. If you go to the description of my show, I say, yeah, we haven't touched on that yet. We can totally talk about that. I know there's people around that are intimate with the story. That's right. It's Kahuna, as he was known on Twitter, was sentenced to, I believe, 3 years in prison for hacking law enforcement sites. And I believe part of his sentencing requires that he doesn't have to report to the prison until, like, after Christmas, I think. Or right around Christmas. He's got like 2 months or 3 months to turn himself in, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I don't know. I presume he can talk to the media. I'm going to try to get him on my show. I don't know what the probability of that happening is, but I think it'd be cool to talk to him. Even if he doesn't come on live, even if we like pre-record it, I don't know what his schedule's like right now, but I'd definitely like to do an exclusive one-on-one with Kahuna. Because I honestly, when all that's, I lost track of Cabin Crew once I found out they had hackers. Like, I remember Cabin Crew, basically they were born out of the Operation BART group. It was what? Who was it? It was Jackal, Motormouth News. They were the two main guys. And then there's a few other people, and all they would do is dox people. They didn't hack. They were just really good at searching on the internet, using Google, essentially. They were brilliant. Like some of those guys were responsible for tracking down Lyndon Johnson's nudes that were just up on a Tumblr account randomly somewhere. And that was awesome. So integral to the campaign against Bart. It was really, that was the pretty much the one and only operation that I ever participated in actively, because it was in my backyard, and it was a cause that I totally agreed with and had no problem aligning with, which is very rare. And to top it off, it was local, so it was like I'm witnessing history, so I wanted to be a part of it. And I think that was the most well put together, coordinated event, because it was done on a very small scale, pretty much, you know, on a shoestring budget, if you could even consider it there being a budget. But you know, it was low tech, low budget. Well, it was high tech, low budget, mixed with some boots on the ground presence, some ground fagging mixed with online shenanigans. It just all culminated in just this great, just perfect storm of exposing, you know, corruptness in government agencies. And thank God they were able to effect some change in that scenario. Lyndon Johnson was not fired, but he was forced to step down from his position as spokesman. And now he's got an office job now. He's still at BART, but he's not in the communications department anymore.
That's when I certainly took notice. You know, fuck, what happened on that subway platform was horrific.
Oscar Grant, I know. I still have to see Fruitvale, the movie. I haven't seen that. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet myself, no. But, I mean, that really was something.
I need to see that and Informant.
Crazy stuff. Sicko was a force behind the BART op, wasn't he? Silence.
Sicko was what? Op art? Yeah, oh, yeah. He wasn't here. That was when he was still living in Texas, but he was part of the online campaign. There was a lot of people all over the world. It was an international thing. It was really was an internet. There was I would say at least verifiable. There was probably like a dozen different nations, international people who helped with that operation that was local to me. You know, that was an example of people, you know, thinking global and acting local and also acting global, you know, because you had hackers who found vulnerabilities in the MyBART website, mybart.org. It's like a companion website to the BART website, where it's more geared towards the ridership. And they, you know, it's like something you sign up for, and you get, you know, an email list, and you get deals and bargains on events and stuff, discount tickets, all kinds of bullshit like that. But their website was really low tech and really vulnerable, so some of these anons were like, oh, what's going on with this BART thing? People, because they knew, everybody got wind of this big protest. It was going to be one of the first times Anonymous did like a boots on the ground protest since Chanology, essentially. And so people were kind of excited, and it had a kind of like a carnival atmosphere to it, just from my perspective here in San Francisco, seeing it happen. And I was there the first three, I believe. There was something like five or six protests under that the Anonymous Operation BART banner. I think I went to the first three, maybe like one other one after that, and it kind of fizzled out. But it made its point, and there were actually some. There weren't, you know, the BART cops are still there. They still exist. But there's a little more scrutiny now. And, you know, at the very least, Lyndon Johnson was put in his place, although I think he should have lost his job and been prosecuted. I mean, he basically lied on camera. He didn't even know that he was making up amendments to the Constitution. Like, he was making up his own Constitution on the spot. You have a constitutional right to safety. Where does it say we have a constitutional right to safety? No. No. The Constitution essentially acknowledges that we have certain inalienable rights that the government can't fucking touch. The Constitution is all about how to limit the government from impeding on our freedom. But whatever. What was I talking about? Tits?
Bart.
Oh, Bart. Yeah.
Jacob Applebaum sucks, for the record.
Although, I have to admit, Jacob Applebaum gave me some good advice. He made a general tweet to people on the eve of going to, or like on their way, like just before, like a couple hours before they were the scheduled time for the protest to start. He put out a tweet. He's like, hey, whatever you do, if you don't want to be, you know, recognized and have your identity seen, make sure you wear a mask and you never take it off. And I took that advice, and it turned out to be some really good advice, because I got burnt out on it. I had my bullhorn, and I had a loop of some, you know, a saying over and over and over again. And I just walked around with that, and I had the mask on and everything. It, to me, it was like Halloween, you know, in the middle of the summer. It was awesome. It made protesting fun. That people were dressed up in a theme. I thought it was really cool. Although it wasn't there very many people. It was maybe a couple hundred people. But the media coverage was insane, dude. I keep telling this story, but I honestly felt like I was on the set of an Alex Jones movie. It was nuts, dude. The street was just lined with basically the whole street. When I got out of the subway station out on Civic Center, that part of Market Street was just lined on both sides by news trucks and vans, and there was like three or four helicopters in the air, and then there was just hundreds and hundreds of cops and riot gear. It was crazy, and there was more cops and media than there were protesters. And the protesters were essentially just a ragtag group of people, you know, kind of some of the usual suspects on the scene, you know, also mixed in with the people from the No Justice on No Bart or something like that. I forgot what the name of the group is, but they basically came to get their activists that are. You know, trying to get rid of the BART police in the name of Oscar Grant and that transient guy that died. But it's whatever. Oh, my God, we only have 20 minutes to go, and it's just been essentially you and I. Let me bring on Rep. Dan Gordon. Rep. Dan Gordon, you're back.
Hey, thank you very much. You know, we got a little off topic, and I don't think that's not an unimportant topic you guys are talking about, but we were chatting earlier about it's Kahuna and his sentencing today.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to that. Thank you.
One of the things I find most interesting, and I can't quote a source, and I'll look for it later on, and I'll go ahead and tweet it when I do find it, is that one of the articles had mentioned that he is now moved in with his quote-unquote new family. What that means, I don't know. I haven't seen any of the sources that collaborated that claim. I know that his father is, I believe it's an assistant district attorney somewhere.
Where?
So in Ohio, in their home state. I'm curious as to that. Like I said, I hadn't seen any other sort of collaborating evidence.
This is what I know. Okay, this is just from reading up. He was sentenced, and he has something like until I think December 6th, somewhere in December. He has to report for his incarceration or whatever to be put in jail officially. So he's got a long waiting period where he can just like say goodbye to everybody and whatever, set things up.
Yeah, I saw some article that that it would ensure him that he at least have Thanksgiving.
He's going to have Thanksgiving. Fault. Yeah, and he's going to go in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which kind of
the
sucks.
The really
like,
weird thing was is that this article said that he's going to be with his new family. It's quote unquote new family. What the hell is that? Who knows?
Oh, I think that's a typo. I think that's a typo. I think it's supposed to be nude family. He's got a family of people. They call themselves family.
If it's got anything to do with the news that we've seen from his quote unquote family that we've seen before, I hope not.
Is he talking about his Kahuna's new family?
Well, I'm paraphrasing or going by what I saw in that article this afternoon, yes.
He did recently celebrate nuptials.
Well, maybe
I think a good friend of the show.
Nude family. They're celebrating their honeymoon.
Well, they may be nude.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about that.
Family. He would have a new family. If he got married, he's got a whole other, her whole side of the family added into his family, essentially.
Right. I mean, who knows how many in-laws he may have.
Like, doubled in size. It's overwhelming.
It may have tripled.
I don't even know who we're talking about. What are we talking about? Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes, or it could have been, the one to jail for tax evasion. I don't know. Tossing it back to you, Vince.
Okay. I'm going to bring back Anomi now. Anomi, thanks for being patient. You're welcome to come back and chime in right now. What are your thoughts?
I've just been laughing for probably the last 10 minutes straight.
Yeah. What's so funny? You think we're funny? What's so fucking funny?
You are.
Like funny, ha ha.
Oh,
do we amuse you?
Yeah, do I amuse you like I'm a fucking clown? Like, what's what?
Whoa. Amusing someone is a compliment. Do not insult yourself. I didn't insult you.
So what are you saying? I'm a funny guy? Like, I'm weird? I'm funny?
Yeah.
I'm goofy?
Yeah.
What,
eccentric.
I'm not normal? What, like I'm not capable of having a serious conversation or whatever?
What were we talking about, Wesley Snipes?
Yeah. He's
like, literally, I have no idea what's going on.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That is patently obvious.
Mary.
And Naomi, what did you just say?
What?
Yeah, that's what I thought. She said the L word. 2 minutes, Anomi. 2 minutes, Anomi, for using the L word. 2 minutes.
Vince,
okay,
can I give a shout-out on your show, if you don't mind?
Oh, not at all. Go for it. Wait. What did you say? Repeat the question?
Oh, I was going to ask you if I could give a shout-out on your show.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. Not a good thing?
No. That's 2 minutes, Dan Gordon.
Oh.
2 minutes for giving a shout-out. We do not do shout-outs here. We do anything but. I'd like to acknowledge big ups, props to... there's a lot of different variations on that theme, okay? Wow. I apologize, Antichrist 73. These people have violated the rules here. They're very simple rules.
They're not complicated. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, it's pretty. I can avoid these words. It's not a problem. You people should just figure it out. It's easy.
You should get 4 minutes when people misplace a letter in the L word.
You know what I end up doing? I end up giving people like more than 2 minutes. It ends up being like 10 or 15.
It's convenient.
All right. Let's take more calls. We got 15. Jesus, we got 15 minutes left. This shit's almost over. This is great. Damn, time flies. All right, we got more callers. Let's see who's on the line. Okay, caller, blocked call, blocked number, unscreened. You're on the air with Vince and Antichrist 73. What's going on?
Hey, Vince, it's your FBI handler. How's it going?
My FBI handler. Would this be Ron Reinhart?
Yes, you're supposed to report to me everything that carrots and trolls are doing.
Oh, my God. I hate that fucking goddamn carrot.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple times you thought he was funny, but now that he's picking on you, too, he's not so funny anymore, right?
Dude, he got me seriously worried for a second there. I told a couple close friends of mine at the time, I was like, okay, look, this sounds like another one of these Neil Rauhauser things where he like tries to play something up and like sets a date, you know, Friday this is going to come out, you know, Fame Ball. It's gonna just sweep the nation. It's going to cut butt hurt everywhere. It's always anticlimactic. You know, it was a decent idea, but it was anticlimactic. This is the same way this carrot operates. This carrot just keeps saying all day long, just totally barraging me with tweets, and including people that are just random, like, shit, I don't know, some of the people he included me on the message. It was like City of Flint was in it a lot. Roseanne came in at some point. I think you were on there.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was bizarre, man.
Yeah, and he targets family members too, which isn't cool. He finds out like he or she. I think it's a she. Just the very fact that he gets so mad at me calling it a she, I'll continue to call it that. But it's really scary because he finds out who your family members are on Twitter, and then he starts tweeting them, and he starts trying to get other trolls to tweet them as well. And that's really crossing a line, I think, for most trolls. You know, you leave families out of it, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Some of the FBI informant stuff did kind of make me laugh, I guess, a little bit. So, I mean, he's actually kind of funny sometimes, he, she, or whatever it is. But it's absolutely ridiculous anyone would think that I'm carrot. Yeah, I mean, since he's trolled me, I mean, you suck to make yourself look good, not make yourself look bad. It makes no sense.
No, this is what this is my conspiracy theory. I think at this point, other than having no clue, if I was to just speculate, I kind of feel like it's Neil trying to pose as you. And at the same time, trying to pull in City of Flint for some reason, because he writes Flint on that carrot.
Oh, yeah, he pulled City of Flint into this Sodom and Gomorrah.
That seems random. Like, of course, I thought for a second, well, why does it say Flint on here? And I was like, maybe it's City of Flint. And then I was like, I don't think so. It just doesn't seem right.
He's one of my favorite accounts to follow. He's good.
City of Flint?
Yeah,
I like City of Flint too. He's great. He's called into the show several times.
What was the bar tab like there tonight, Ron?
The bar tab? Yeah.
You just hitting them at home.
I'm sorry?
Or are you just hitting them at home?
Yeah, I didn't go to the bar, but it does seem like I got into an argument with every single person that Vince was trapped in an elevator with.
Well, you'll have that, I gather.
What? What's that?
I said you'll have that, you know, getting in an argument with an elevator.
Who is this? You don't even make any sense.
Well, you said something about getting in an argument with everybody that Vince was in an elevator with.
That he was trapped in an elevator with. That made sense. What you just said made no sense.
Who
are you?
I'm nobody. I'm nobody at all. I just re-said what you
said. Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I? And what
is that like a difficult question? I missed
it
the beginning
is,
of the show. I don't know who this
that
is that's saying stupid things to me.
I simply asked you a question.
And you asked me a stupid question. I asked who this is. I don't know who this is. Is that a difficult question?
I was taught that
question?
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Well, only someone stupid would say that to you.
Touche.
Notice how the fuck all didn't begin until about the time I got muted.
It's a conspiracy.
Hey, Vince, can I ask you a question? Did Dan Gordon change his first name to Rep? Because I'm kind of confused why you keep calling him that.
Who are you? Who is this? Who are you?
That's Rod Reiner.
Sweet Mother Mary.
I know. I'm just playing off the
I mean, I worry about Dan Gordon because, you know,
don't you worry about
he might be trying
I'm
to choke
to
one of his ex-girlfriends now.
I'll come and choke you if you like.
You'll come and choke me? No, I'm not gonna have sex with you, Dan. I think you have better luck trolling high school kids. You have better luck trolling high school kids because you get off on that. But seriously, how did you get away with the attempted murder charges anyway?
You'll never know, will you?
All right, that's
enough.
I'll
find out someday.
Hey, simmer down. Okay, I'm putting people on hold for a second. I'll bring you back on in just a minute. I got to get some more callers on. There's people that are waiting patiently. I'm going to go now to my friend, 213. 213, what's up? You're on the show.
Vince, what kind of fucking train wreck have I walked into tonight? What's going on? You have a bunch of fucking autist brown nosers talking shit on your show. Thank God I got some extra napkins from McDonald's today when I fucking got my Big Mac, so they have something to wipe that shit off with. I mean, it's Vince jizz all day on the Vince and the Bay show. What is up with these guys, man? Where do you find these dudes?
I don't. They find me, unfortunately.
That's a damn shame because I appreciate what you do as far as the internet radio community goes, but these people sitting here hashing out pussy problems on the air is just not something I want to listen to while I'm on hold.
Hey, I plus one on that. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, well, I'll let your little bitches get back to digging their nails in each other's faces. You have a great rest of the show.
Oh wait, hang on, dude. Hang on. You're into geopolitical stuff. What's your take on Putin running game on Obama, your boy Obama?
What are you talking about? I mean, I have nothing to do with any politics. I don't even fuck with municipal politics, really. I hate Jack Ellis. Everybody on the show should
what
know
kind
that
of
by
politics?
Now. I said I don't even fuck with municipal politics.
With what kind of politics?
Do you know what the word? Are you unaware of what me?
How about this?
What
question?
Is?
Hey, relax.
Municipal.
Hey, we only have a couple minutes left. 213. Another question for you. What do you think of Larry Summers being the new Fed chairman?
I don't really fucking give a shit. What does that have to do with me?
Well, he's the guy that helped put us on the road to destroying our economy, and now he's coming in.
But you're implying that the past 20 years worth of politicians hasn't already done that. You're blaming. You want to point the finger at one man like this shit ain't been going on for decades, man. Come on, man. Wake up, Vince.
Oh, that's a good point. It's like if you're bleeding, don't try to fucking
cauterize
the wound or anything. Just let it bleed out.
You're one of the main reasons this show's a train wreck right now, so please shut the fuck up.
I appreciate that.
Go to Google municipal, because I know you had a hard time understanding that when I said it a minute ago, but I want to make sure that you're clear on what I meant. I know, I said municipal. I don't understand. You didn't understand me, so what's going on, man?
I'm not making fun. I really wanted to know what you were saying.
No, ad hominem. Ad hominem. All you're doing is making fun of my dialect. That's
absolutely
the only rebuttal
not.
You have
okay,
for me.
I'm getting
That's
a headache.
That's the only rebuttal
I'm
you have
headache.
For me.
I'm getting a headache, and I have to shut down the show. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go right into we're going to go right into final thoughts. Anomi, are you back? Hello? Caller, you just called in. Are you on the air? Hello? Ellie?
Hello?
Hi, is that Anomi?
Oh, sorry. I accidentally hung up before.
I know, you're back. Anomi, perfect.
I'm back.
Okay, let's go around the horn real quick. Final thoughts. We'll start with 213, your final thoughts tonight.
Long live Ben Bernanke.
All right, appreciate the call. Dan Gordon, your final thoughts.
Hey, thanks very much for having me on the show tonight. I wish the best to Itz Cahuna and his quote-unquote new family, whatever that means. Larry Summers, clearly a fiend that's going to do nothing but perpetuate the heinous acts of Keynesian economics upon this country further. If you don't know what Keynesian economics is, Google it. Thanks again for having me on.
As always, it's been a pleasure. Let's move now to Ron Reinert. Ron, final thoughts.
Again, I'm just curious to find out if Dan Gordon changed his first name to Rep, because I'm pretty sure he's not a Rep anymore, and I just wanted to make sure he's not choking any women tonight.
You should choke on a cock and fucking die, you faggot. Good night.
All right. Peace out. Let's see. Let's go with Anomi. Anomi, final thoughts.
I have a couple, but they're not pretty. Is that
give
okay?
Give it to me, baby.
Okay.
Ron,
you need to lay off the bath salt, sweetheart. And second off, the internet has a little
Is that like a tired...
For what?
You know, you sound pretty. Maybe I'd eat your face without any bath salts.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a chance. So, Dan, little note from the internet. You're still a drunk woman being faggot who can't even two terms.
I'm a human being that doesn't call people faggots. You're a horrible, nasty troll who has no life and will do nothing with your life.
You're right, except I was talking to Dan Gordon.
Dan Gordon, the person who tried to kill women and was laughed out of office. He's a national treasure. Dan Gordon is a national treasure.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is supposed to be Anomi's final thoughts, and I'm not hearing Anomi say anything. So Anomi, quickly, anything else you want to add?
Thanks for having me on the show. This was fun.
I know.
It's
always fun. Yeah. I love you, too. Okay. And last but not least, Antichrist 73, final thoughts.
Vince, thanks so much for having me on the show. What a trip. Fucking just so excellent. And keep up the good work, brother.
Right on. Appreciate your contribution tonight. Thank you, everybody else that tuned in. If you want to if you tuned into the show late and you want to check out what you missed, once the show ends in about 5 minutes, you'll be able to download the podcast and relive the magic over and over. Thank you, everybody who is in the chat room till the very end, the bitter end. That would be Anomi, Anthesis, Antichrist 73, Chef Bone. Jeff RD, bunch of guests. Whoa, Geronimo, Monkey Shoes, Raven Bowden, Sea Panther, Six Girl, and Your Anus News. Peace out. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/eventsinthebay. And until next time, which I think will be Sunday, I'm not sure what. I really don't know what my agenda will be Sunday, but that's my next planned show. Follow me on Twitter for updates on what the fuck I might possibly do on that. So that's it. Peace out.
Thank you very much.